Now, dear God, we again thank you in the name of Jesus that you're here today. We thank you again that we ask that your Spirit would anoint your wondrous word, that it would open up more of the wonderful beauty and love of your Son to us this morning. Lord, may we speak truth and love and grow up into you in all things. Thank you for that promise. By grace we enter in, and by faith we achieve that wonderful beauty of your Son in our life. May you come in such a mighty way this morning. Open hearts. Allow us to be ready to receive you. We thank you for all things and commit it to you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's been an exciting morning. You know, sometimes the Lord will put things on your heart that you just think on for quite a bit, and sometimes He'll give you something that will just spark your interest or spark your mind or heart to Him. And I have to tell you, sometimes when I've given sermons, the Lord will change the sermon as basically you're walking to the pulpit. And I'm thankful He gave me about an hour reprieve this morning, but He did kind of change it up. So it's kind of like I've told you, I love roller coasters, and sometimes it's just, you know, Son, it's not hold on at all, because He's the one that does the holding. I just sit down and let's watch the wonderful handiwork of God. So I appreciate your prayers this morning. So let's open up our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to be reading from verse 1. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and reading from verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. This is a great heartfelt encouragement, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. And we understand throughout the Word of God, the only way we can please Him is it's impossible to please Him without faith. So this walk that we have that pleases God has got to be about faith, and faith is about His Word. So ye would abound more and more. So look at all of the wonderful truth we have just in that verse. For we know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And again, just the commandments of love and His truth, not speaking here of the Ten Commandments. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So precious. He wants us separated to God. That's that sanctification. That ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And we're going to be focusing on that verse. And I believe the Lord, even in this short hour prior to, has been opening this up. This may be a little series here. I don't know what He's going to do with it. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now in that thought, I want you to turn with me now over to Romans chapter 9. And that's Romans chapter 9, verse 21. We'll begin reading there. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known, oh, listen to this, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. And let me tell you something. You, as a child of the King, you are a vessel of nothing but mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Listen to that. How marvelous. That's what you, as his child, are prepared for. And were prepared for afore, before the foundations of the earth. He knew, he foreknew you'd have a heart, but prepared unto glory. Even us whom he hath called. So I want you to make sure that you know you're included in this. Not of the Jew only, but also of the Gentiles. So praise be to God for this. What potential. Praise the Lord that as Christians we are vessels made unto glory. Vessels of the Lord. And in that, the Lord has brought my heart to the thought of a vessel. And specifically, a pleasing vessel. And I do believe all of us here today, coming out to church, that we do have a desire to be a pleasing vessel to the Lord. I want to be pleasing to God. And we read here how that God has power. He is the potter, and he has power over us, the clay. So by grace and grace alone, we know that it is all him. That anything I ever hope to be, anything that I ever hope to achieve, I have to say, praise be to God, it is on him. Isn't that wonderful to know? It's on him. And isn't that such a difference in what's coming out to us from pulpits so much? Oh, it's on you. No, it's on him. It's on him. It's his work. I am his workmanship. Praise the Lord. And God is doing this in my life, to think that I could even be molded and shapen after the very will of God. How marvelous. How marvelous. How could I ever begin to think that I could have anything to do with that, except by the grace of God, just be willing to yield to it. So here we are, brothers and sisters. We are vessels of the Lord. Now, according to a definition of a vessel, there's three things about that vessel. You pour into it. It holds, or it sustains what's been poured in, and then it pours out. And today, by the grace of God, he is going to have us looking at that receiving in, the pouring in. And I have to tell you, I never really thought of vessels very much until after I got married. I wanted to be a big help around the home. And as being the youngest and having the mom that I had, I was taken care of very well. And I didn't have much practice with different vessels. And I soon came to find out that specific vessels are made for certain things. And they are. You don't take scalding, boiling water and put them into little plastic cups. They seem to melt and burn your hand. And then you don't take things that you want to have freeze and put it into a liquid into a thin glass and put it into your freezer, and overnight you think you're going to have a magic popsicle, because what happens is you hear an explosion at about 2 or 3 in the morning and you think you have a robber in the home. And on and on and on about, you know, maybe metals in the microwave, and don't eat chicken after it's been out overnight, and lots of things I found out, and my wife has had to kind of bear with me as I've learned. But bottom line in this, brothers and sisters, it is true that we are a very specific and we are a very special vessel unto the Lord. And we need to be aware, we need to be vitally aware of the things that are poured into this vessel. Because there's things that can hurt this vessel. There's things that can damage this vessel. But I also want us to understand there's so many things that could damage or harm or hurt this vessel that I couldn't even think of all of them. I'm probably not even aware of all of them anyways. And that's our wondrous Lord again. And in Romans 13, 14, he said, you know what, I've got the answer for you, and I'm going to take care of all of it. And it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on. Other ways put is pour him into your life. Let him do the pouring into your life. Allow him to completely saturate your life, fill your life. By the grace of God, I believe that that's rightfully dividing the word of God in your life. I believe that that's the very whole armor of God that he's talking about there. That again, it's his work. It's his keeping. We've been talking about that. And I think it's so vital that we continue to come back to that and understand that in whatsoever state I am, I'm content because he's doing the keeping. I'm okay. And I'm more than okay. All is well. Appreciate that sweet woman. I want to meet her someday by the grace of God. How her son could be dead. And that prophet come by and, how is it, lady? Oh, all is well. I want faith like that, don't you? I don't want to mess around with this life. I want to believe God in what he is. And he's everything. And there's nothing hard for him. And he's capable of all things. But most importantly is that wonderful I am loves me. He loves me. He loves you. He personally loves you. He sent his only begotten son to suffer like nobody else has ever suffered and become sin for you who knew no sin, because he so loved you. Now that settles it with me. I'm not going to try to grasp, does God love me anymore? Is there anything that can separate me from his love? Is there any reason that he wouldn't do something for my good? I've got to stop, and you need to stop. God loves you. God loves you, and nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing can separate us from His love. As Christians in Christ, thank you, Lord God, that nothing can separate us from His love. So we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to allow Him to pour Himself into our life. And see, as He pours Himself into our life, and as we continue to allow Him to increase that filling, we get so full that we don't need that other stuff. And as that verse goes on to say, it makes no provision for the lust of the flesh. It doesn't even open the door for it. You know, it's just like when you have a vessel and it's full. I'm talking about right to the top. Go try to put more in. Try to put something else in. It doesn't work. It just flows out. Now, by the grace of God, I want Him still continuing to put the things in my life that are pleasing to Him that continue to flow out. But that's a pouring that we'll talk about, God willing, maybe in a later lesson. But so wonderful. But you know, I mentioned this to a man a while back, and I think the Lord's had this on my heart for some time. Didn't really put it together until, like I say, earlier this morning. But I had mentioned it to him, and all he could think about, well, are you talking about sinless perfection? And I just shook my head, and I thought, you know, when are we ever going to get it? When are we ever going to get it that sin has already been taken care of? It's been taken care of. It's gone. He's as far as the east is from the west. I think about the wonderful word justified. Think about that word, justified. You are justified in Him, just as if I never sinned. He has taken care of it. When that veil was rent in twain, it was rent in twain for a purpose, that I could boldly go in there, boldly, and claim who I am. I am accepted in the Beloved. Because of Christ, I'm just accepted there. That's where I'm supposed to be. That's where I am supposed to dwell. Now, the enemy don't want me there. He's going to try to do everything to try to convince me that I'm too wicked, I haven't studied enough, I haven't gone to church enough, I treated somebody too bad. Well, shame on us for all that, absolutely. But make it stop by the grace of God and just go in there boldly. In the name of Jesus, I just entered in. Isn't that precious? Just in the name of Jesus. Throughout the week, I hope to reside there. But even when I'm distracted for a moment, just in the name of Jesus, I'm home. Isn't that wonderful? I'm home. I'm right there. Right in fellowship with Him. Praise God for that. I appreciate that I stand before Him sinless, righteous, holy, accepted. So, what are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about what's within this vessel. What is this vessel possessing? What is being poured into this vessel? And as we read here, we're talking about the full potential of glory. I mean, this is wondrous stuff. This is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful that, again, He has allowed this life to embrace that, to receive that, and most importantly, to respond to that. To say, Lord, I do believe that. I do believe that sufferings are going to be worth it all. I do believe that, yes, there might be sorrow in the night, but, you know, there's coming a morning, and praise God, it's all going to be gone in some glorious morning. Praise God. And that's what increases me in Him. That's what, again, causes me to abound in Him. You know, because Brother Paul, he said it. It's not a matter of, in a sense, sin. Sin's going to be present. We understand that. It's around us. Just don't let it reign in your life. Don't let it reign in there. Sin has been taken care of, as we know. It was taken care of upon that cross. Upon that cross, as we believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive the Spirit of life that has made me free from sin and death. So think about this. In Christ Jesus, sin has no effect on me. Sin has no control over me in Him. It makes me think in a way I was, of a little, I guess, what is that, a little nursery rhyme or fairy tale thing of Old Chicken Little. Remember Old Chicken Little? Chicken Little, if you don't remember that, Old Chicken Little got hit by an acorn falling off a tree on the head. And from that acorn, that Chicken Little kept running around saying, oh, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Right? Well, all those characters knew, and as you read the book, you know the sky isn't falling. But yet we as Christians know that we have been made free from sin and death because we have the Spirit of life. Isn't that wonderful? We know that whosoever is born of God, doth not commit sin. You know, a lot of people have trouble with that. You need to start seeing yourself as God sees you. Until you start going there, you're never going to grow. I keep looking at things with these eyes. I'm done. I'm going to be finished. It's going to be over. Whatsoever is born of God does not commit sin. And I'm telling you, just like Chicken Little there, we can be deceived when we believe lies. We can be deceived when we receive polluted doctrine. I'm going to tell you, we have very sensitive ears, brothers and sisters. We need to be sensitive to what we are hearing. And more, however Christ is preached, as I've told you, I want to be as Brother Paul. I rejoice. I'm so thankful, and therein I do rejoice. But error is error. Did you hear me? Error is error. And do you know what you, by His grace, have been counted worthy to receive? I marvel. I want to treasure it. I want to be thankful for it. I want to stand in defense of it. I don't want it to be something, well, brother or sister so-and-so rubbed me wrong at church, and I'm not going to go there anymore because of that. Or I've got so far to come, and we have this to do. We need to make every provision to get in here. We need to make every provision for the love of God to fill my life, to be thankful for you, to be thankful that God is filling you up. I'm telling you, when I get a little bit low, one thing that God is encouraging in my life is to truly look at His work in my brothers and sisters. I'm thankful that you're running. It encourages me. I'm thankful if I can be a blessing to you. But I've got to, again, by the grace of God, get out of this life, start living Him, start looking at things the way God looks at things. That's forever. That's the promise, and that's going to allow my life to grow. And I'm going to tell you, when we lay hold of things that are forever, it's going to increase. But I'm going to tell you, when we refuse to lay hold of things that we know, we're going to be just like Chicken Little. And sin will affect you. And sin will begin to consume your thoughts. And pretty soon you're going to be running around like a nut. Oh yes. Because you're somebody's servant here today. And you are. And that's, in a sense, commanding voice that you're listening to today is swaying your thoughts, is swaying your lifestyle. And as our precious verse that we read today is, it's sanctified. That's a huge word. It means set apart to God. Set apart to God. We are all vessels. He has made the vessel. He has prepared the vessel. He is pouring what He needs to pour in the vessel if we'll be willing and allow Him to pour in. But there's a word called sanctified. And I want you to think about it as this. I am this vessel, and I need to be set apart to God in order to receive the fullness of what He wants to pour in. But the problem with my life is this. The things that I want to be willing for Him to pour in, I'm going to go without the camp and prepare and receive, break up the fertile ground, and here's that open vessel, the lid's off, and it's poured in. But wait a second, there's some things that I'm just not going to let go of. So here goes the vessel back over to this side, which is the land of unbelief. I'm not living in faith, and what's going to be poured in over here? You know it. It's going to be dross. It's going to be things that are going to leaven the whole lump. And I'm going to tell you, when we continue to do this with the Lord, you can't serve two masters. It doesn't work. A house divided against itself will fall, brothers and sisters. It will. We need to have a tender heart that's in tune to the things of God. That's a bottom line. By His grace, we need to yield to what He wants in our life. By grace, we need to, again, be the sheep that hear His voice. Be in proximity to God to listen to Him. And when I am sanctified, again, this is all by grace, but there is a choice to go without the camp. And to say, Lord, fill me with this. There's so many things in this pouring in, brothers and sisters. And I'm thankful and I believe that we are convinced that we do need His truth, that we do need the meat of the Word of God, that I don't want to be as the different brothers and sisters in this Word that Paul had to come in there and chastise and said, what are you doing? I got to put you back on milk. You should be teaching these things and I've got to teach you again. God forbid we'd go there. Know your word. Know that He was speaking to Christians. Again, I heard a man the other day bringing forth Ephesians and then going into Romans about the sons of God. Oh, he was touching upon, oh, and we're heirs and joint heirs. And I was thinking the truth that God has brought to my life about what that means. But just passing by. Oh, we're just all children. Denying sonship. Oh my. Come read Corinthians. There's a rank and an order. There's one star different from another in glory. And I remember when Brother Hill, he couldn't speak upon that bed, and all the Lord could fill my heart with was I said, oh Grandpa, it's son glory. It's son glory. That's reality. There's a glory of the moon. That moon's a beautiful moon. I was out there the other night. I don't know if you caught it. It was red as red could be. The blood moon was out. It was so sweet. But there's a glory of the sun. She has her own light. Oh, yes, she does. Know your word. Know this word. It's exciting what's going on. And you know what? You're being delivered that wonderful truth. Isn't that something? You're being delivered that truth. God so loved you that He saw you'd have a heart for it. And you know what? He doesn't make any mistakes. And you may be sitting here. You might be in the front. You might be in the middle. Might be in the back. And this might, in a sense, you're thinking, well, I don't even know what he's talking about. I might not even be feeling something here today. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't. You're here for an absolute divine purpose. I truly believe it. Absolutely. You are worthy to receive this. And it's here for you. And it's not beyond you. It isn't. Because if you're a child of the King, He's in you. He's given you every ability to understand, to rejoice, to be thankful. I'm looking at faces that I know have come in the past maybe 2, 5, 10 years, and I see the head saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. I was out there. I had no idea what this was about. But God knew. He foreknew. He saw that I was a vessel prepared afore for glory. You haven't been prepared for anything but glory if you'll just wake up to it. If you'll just wake up. And God will wake you up. And all it is belief. Just believe Him is what He said. God's word is true. Praise the Lord. Let's get on with this. So we need, by His grace, to protect this vessel. We do. We need to protect this vessel. God is our protector, but we need to understand that that sanctification is coming out from among them and being separate. Because His word cuts right to the chase. He tells us in the word, abstain. Did you know that? Abstain means to keep yourself from. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. God's very direct to us, isn't He? He knows His creation. He knows His product. Absolutely He does. And He says, when it begins, that sin, that evil begins to just show forth, the door beginning to come open, and you see that, flee. Get out of there. Something bad's about to go down. Adios. And it's the truth. And you know, I'm so thankful again that tender heart can be convicted to flee that. See, that's what it is. It's just a tender heart. But see, I see people that say, well, old brother, I can do this, you know, because I have the liberty. I appreciate liberties. Don't get me wrong. But if it's sin, sin is sin. Okay? And we were talking about it Wednesday night. You dwell in sin long enough, you're going to smell like it. You hang around sin long enough, you're going to look like it. And you will. It's an absolute fact. You will become like the environment that you choose to hang around. Now, a lot of people will think, well, sure, the sins of the flesh, they can be awful. I see people, and I'm talking Christians, that for years have been out in the world. They got saved, they got filled, they seemed to be on fire for the things of God, but they were out there in the world, and I'm going to tell you, you can see the sin in their face. Absolutely. But I've also seen Christians that still profess Christ, that are as legal can be, and are hateful. And don't want to go on with the Word of God. And you know what? I think they're more dead. I really do. And you can see it in their face as well. God makes things beautiful. And He does. He'll put a joy in your life. He'll make you young again. I was thinking of my sweet three young sisters up there at camp. I think the youngest one might have been about 80. But they were young as young could be, sitting a few rows back just singing together. Isn't that wonderful? I said, we're going to have to break it up. You're staying up too late. Going to be a bad example on those little sisters. But praise the Lord, how God can do. But see, He's told us this, to flee from it. And you know, young people, again, thinking of you, I've had you heavy on my heart, especially after camp. So such a wonderful time. Praise be to God. I think that we're starting to see that, you know, they talk about leaders and followers and all of that. By the grace of God, we follow the Lord. We follow Paul as he followed Christ. But as you do that, you're a leader. You don't need to follow people. You do not. You mark them as an example or examples that are in faith. Absolutely, it's wonderful. But be a leader. Don't let people mark you a follower. You be a leader because you have Jesus Christ. You don't need to be led into things that are not of the Lord. You don't need to be led into the things of the flesh. I was speaking to a dear brother that was brought into here by another young man. And I said, the Lord's encouraged me to tell you, you be the leader in this. He's talking about tender eyes. I used to really get kind of embarrassed when Brother Hill would come up to me. He used to call me soft eyes. I'd say, oh, Grandpa, don't say that. I'm a big, strong 40-yard dash football player. See, he knew what he was talking about. But I'm thankful I have soft eyes. God can give them to you too. And He has. We want to be tender towards the things of God. He can work with that. He can do things with that. You may sit here today and I know there's a tenderness in you, but you're caught up into a cycle over and over and it just doesn't seem ever to break. There's a willingness, as Paul, he said, that good thing I do, I can't get it done. The evil that I don't want to do, that's the stuff I do. He learned to be a vessel that was open to the Lord. And it took time. It did. It wasn't just in a sense, I don't like to use the word, but just a magical moment that just took one moment on that road to Damascus. Yes, that transformed him into life, absolutely. But it took years. It took years. It took years of failure. It took years of suffering. But finally he said, oh yes, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to be offered. There's a process in it, and it's never going to be cut short. It's God's work, and it's His way. But young people, I tell you, I want you to have a good time. I want you to have a good time growing up. I had a great time growing up. I made my share of mistakes. I got in my share of trouble. I mixed it up with a lot of people. There's people even in this meeting, and I think that's been a hard transformation for them in some respects. A prophet doesn't have any respect in his own land, huh? No, I'm just kidding. I think God's come in a mighty way. Mighty way. But sure, I did some things that probably were best not to do. I was thinking of a poor counselor I had that I put rocks in his pillows too many times. And the poor brother that still has a backache because we kind of fled on him when he was doing a jump. But those are things that we shouldn't talk about. But again, where I'm going with this is, by grace I did respond to a tender heart that God gave me. And it's true. And brothers and sisters of all ages, but especially young people here today, we need to respond. When it's about to go too far, we need to pray to God, Lord, stop this. Don't let this spin out of control. Allow Him to do the work, to allow us to flee. And I believe that the key that the Lord is really speaking to me about in my life and continue, and it really has to do with the full overcomer, is, Lord, at the very moment of temptation, let me respond to You. Just as wonderful Jesus did when the enemy was trying to tempt Him. It was immediate. And He responded just in the exact wonderful, powerful sword that we have in the very Word of God. It is written. Greatest three words, I think, in some respects I've ever read. It is written. Oh, man. Behold the Lamb. Oh, praise God, who's for me? It is written. It is written. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that something? Always thought about that. Well, Lord, you know, could have been a lot easier. But where would free will have been, huh? The free praise, the wonderful creation that He's given to have free will to Him. But the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Huh. Now, why did He say that to us? You know why I really believe? Because the environment of sin. And sin has an environment. It's got a very clear, definite environment. And we are not ignorant of His devices, are we? We're not ignorant of that. We need to recognize Him. And as the Word of God, at the very appearance of that, we need to flee. We need to get away from it by the grace of God. I'll give you some examples. There's some ones that are very blunt. Got a bunch of people doing dope or getting drunk. I would flee that. That's probably very evident. That's not a place to go. But then we have some more subtleties when we as Christians get together and we start gossiping. What do you think about that? That's the very appearance of evil. We get together in an us four and no more, and I'm not going to open up to anybody else. That's an appearance of evil. And it is. God's not going to work with things like that. Because His love is without dissimulation. And His love is open. And it is. And yes, He's encouraged me to continue to emphasize that. Because there's a group called Philadelphia, and they were full of brotherly love. It just poured out. And the reason it could pour out is because it was poured in. It was poured in. It was received. I can't give you something that I don't have. Don't work that way. I've got to have it. I've got to possess it to be able for it to come out. I have to tell you, I was thinking, you know, Lord called me to be a minister and 40 years old. Right on the nose. Perfect testing. Maybe it did take Him that long to fill my life with things before they could really come out. I don't know. But you know, the one thing that was sweet about that time, I just wait on Him. I had a desire the last, say, 7 years before I was 40 that, you know, Lord, I want to love You more. I want to be the man of God that You want me to be. I want you to know I never wanted to be a preacher. Never did. Throughout the week, there's times we won't talk about those. But I'm convinced to be what God wants me to be. And I hope you're convinced to be what God wants you to be. And if it's poured out to just one life, it was worth it all. If it's poured out to thousands upon thousands, it's going to be worth it all. The whole point is that it was His pouring into and His pouring out of. Do you see? That's the beauty of the Lord. That's when we can get into this wonderful love relationship with God. I wanted to talk to these young people just a moment too. And I think we have a little bit of time. The environment of sin. I remember, and I still think, and I hope that we can all use these lessons in different ways to us. Do you remember the times when people would tell you, well, we're going to have the party. And I remember even doing Sunday school classes and all with the older ones, and they'd open up to me and said, oh, Brother Jess, you know, I went, but, you know, I prayed to the Lord that I wasn't going to drink. Might be too late. The very appearance of evil. What do you think about that? Huh? What about when the devil comes to us, brothers and sisters, and in that urging, as he always does, well, everybody's doing it. Oh, these are all your friends that are doing these things. Huh? He even say with Christians, oh, all the Christians are doing these things. You know, and I'm telling you, you should see, I'm thankful that God has got us in harmony with him for most part in this meeting, but there are a lot of people that come. Say, well, we should do this like so-and-so, or we should do this like so-and-so. Well, you know what? If we do something like somebody else and it's God's will, wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something. God better be moving behind it or we're going to be in big trouble. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to add anything. I don't want that dross in there. The sincere milk of the word, praise God. But there you go. You got these friends urging, or you got these people saying, well, everybody's doing it. And I don't care if it's dope or mischief or, you know, having sex or whatever it may be. You know, I was even thinking, now, again, we say, well, Lord, deliver me. But I'm hearing this from a lot of the young people. How about, Lord, wake me up that these aren't my friends? And this is all of us. Because I remember in the business world, I would have Christian friends in the business world. But they didn't want to go with the things of God. Now, it wasn't that I threw my nose up and just walked away. I love everybody. But I want to be a leader. I don't want to go following into things that aren't going to be things that are going to edify spiritual growth. I'm telling you, time is short, brothers and sisters, and we need to be aware. We need to be aware of what we're yielding to today. Awake to these aren't my friends. Awake to Lord Jesus, you're my friend. Awake to Lord Jesus, you know the desires upon my heart. And if I really do need friends and it's something to encourage me, you'll bring them. That you've blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That you'll bring the things into my life that I need. And by the grace of God, shut those doors. Allow me to flee that evil. This is an important time, brothers and sisters. I really do believe it. This isn't anything of legality. This is something to where this vessel starts to fall so in love with the Lord. It's just like when the men used to say, oh, I'm playing the field. But then there comes a time, there's a woman they meet, and they don't want to play no more. They've fallen in love. And I've fallen in love with Jesus. He's always been in love with me. But I've fallen in love. And I want to go out from among the camp. And by the grace of God, that love is separating my life. And it's something that, yes, it can be difficult and it can be strange because there's things going on that they're not you. It's the transformation that's happening in your life. But we need to be about the things of God. We need to be in tune with what He's doing. Because on the other hand, I'm going to tell you, if you rebel against Him, He's going to let you rebel. If you want to go the other way, He's going to let you go the other way. If you want to neglect so great salvation today, He'll let you neglect it. But I want you to understand the Word of God, and it says that there are consequences. And it's not to make you fearful. It's just sad. That's all I can say. It's sad. It's sad when we don't yield to God. I don't want to live a life of what could have been. You hear me say that all the time. I do not want to. I want to look back and say, I'm glad I did, Lord. Every bit of it was worth it all. And it needs to be that way in our life. The consequences of sin, the wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin is despair. It's regret. It's remorse. It's sadness. It's pain. All the things that by the grace of God, I know none of us want here today. But it's evident. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need to take heed and leave that behind and let go of that stuff. I don't care how much you may think it may hurt somebody else. I don't care how you've grown up. I don't care, and again, how much history is behind it. You need to go. If you're not worthy to leave and willing to leave the family, you're not worthy to come after me. Are we in love today with Him like that? Are we in love with Him to allow Him to separate us to Him and Him alone? And to have Him fill us with the very fullness of God? There's treasure in earthen vessel. Do you realize the treasure? Oh, there's treasure. Exceeding treasure. That the exceeding power may be of God and not of us, it says.
Amen. That's right.
You are made into glory, created to receive that. Do you realize that the only thing that's ever been created to show forth the exceeding riches of His grace, the very fullness of God, the very power of God, to show forth Christ in me, the hope of glory, is a human being. That's the masterpiece that He's chosen. And I sit here and I really believe, brothers and sisters, we're really not aware as we should be. He's getting it ready. He's preparing it. And I need to be willing to allow Him to prepare that in me. There's a masterpiece going on. There's a masterpiece being built. And He's going to bring her forth. And He's going to say, I'm going to make known to all that I have loved thee. And it was just my love that did it. And you're going to partake in the fullness of my glory. And I'm going to have them come down and bow down before us and worship. You willing to go with God like that? Or are you going to just sit here and let it pass you by? I don't know. I don't know what He can do for us. I don't know what else He can give us. Awake. Receive. May God just pour into us the very fullness of the glory that He has afore prepared. Let's pray. Jesus. Yes, the love.
Oh. Children, you know that the time is short. So let the Lord shape you. Let Him make you what He would have you be. Let Him pour into you the things that He wants. Oh, and He'll separate you from this world.
Yes.
And knowing that when He separates you from that world, that masterpiece, all that masterpiece that He's going to finish, all it's going to be you. It's going to be you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You as the bride. And know that this is the Lord that wants to give this to you.
Oh, in your name, Jesus, we just say amen, amen, and amen. And even so, Lord, come quickly. Praise God. Praise God.